Oh, Lord Jesus, it's been a fantastic morning. I don't know about you guys, but I've been thoroughly blessed. Already, I've been thoroughly blessed. And it's good to be with you. It really is good to be with you. Rob, fantastic worship. Really, really appreciate that. It was so easy to come into the presence of God there. And there is so much life in this room, you know. This is a place where people are prepared to adventure with Jesus. You know, it says in Hebrews, doesn't it, without faith it's impossible to please God. And, you know, that's what, when it says that, that's what I think about, is that without that sense of adventuring with him, you know, putting yourself in those places where you need him to turn up, it's impossible to please him. And, you know, there's people in this room that are adventuring with God. Not just the guys that we've heard from who are adventuring, but also there's others. I look around the room, people adventuring with Jesus, and that's a fantastic place to be. Hallelujah. All the sunshine. Let's all rush out and remind ourselves what it looks like. Come on, prophesy it. Yeah. The light has come. When Di said I had 10 minutes, I said, Lord, what do you want me to say to the Slough congregation in 10 minutes? Oh, you're more than generous. 50% increase. What do you want to say? And I really felt the Lord say something very simple, but it is quite profound, but it is very simple. We've already heard examples of it this morning. And I felt him just say, tell the people this morning that I will lead them. And I want you to receive that as a congregation in this time when you're seeking God, when you're in the Slough Summer Advance, when you're actually looking to God for fresh ways forward. I want you to know, congregationally, that the Lord has promised you that I will lead you. That's a fantastic promise. And I also want you to know that individually. Yeah, so that, you know, wherever you come from this morning, you may be visiting, you may be a regular here, but I want you to know it deep in your heart. I want the Holy Spirit just to speak right now into you that assurance. Because you can say the words, God's going to lead me. And it can just wash off, can't it? It can just not really connect. But I really feel that the Holy Spirit wants to connect that with your heart this morning. So, Samir, you know, God wants to say to you this morning, I will lead you. And that's to impact right into your heart. And for us all to go away this morning knowing whatever situations we're looking at, whatever decisions we're looking at making, whatever, you know, challenges we're facing, that is his promise to us. I will lead you. And I was chatting to Mary before the meeting, and I had a great encouragement because that's what she was looking for. And, you know, God is interested in your life this morning and wants you to know. David had that great assurance, didn't he? I'm going to just read a couple of verses from Psalm 139, verses 9 and 10. I'll read a couple more because there's something else he wants to say. Oh, I'll get those. Thanks. Where can I go from your spirit, says in verse 7? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, or Sheol, the grave, it says, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even places like Vanuatu, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And just David had that real assurance that wherever he went, the Spirit of God would be with him. And that God would guide him. A total confidence. And I know that there are some in this room this morning, the Spirit said, that really need to hear that. I am with you, and I will guide you. But this is an area that lots of us struggle with, if we're honest. Hearing God, and actually hearing his will for us, and hearing his plans for us, and knowing his guidance. It's not an easy thing. And often you hear people say, I wish God would speak more clearly to me. You know, and you get the sense that people would like a big bright pink neon sign. This way! Go this way! That's the way I want you to walk. You know, big, that big lottery hand. It could be you, you know, coming down and pointing. And say, would you want something clear, that's unmistakable, that's unshakable, that we know is God? I think we've got to learn a lesson from Sabina. We've got to be careful what we pray for and what we ask for. Because when you think about scripture, when you think about the Bible, and I love the Bible because it, you know, it just reveals how great God is, how much of a loving Father. But when he does speak like that, it's normally bad news. You know, you think of some stories. Look at Jonah, for example. God speaks to him through a storm, through a big fish that swallows him. That's because Jonah was in rebellion. He was going in completely the opposite direction that he thought that God might be telling him to go. To go and preach to the Ninevites. And then you look at Belshazzar, king of Babylon, last king of Babylon. The writing on the wall, the hand that appears at his feast, starts writing on the wall. There's a sign you wouldn't want to mistake. God says this to you. Yeah. It was pretty bad news for him. That night his life was forfeit. He lost his life and his kingdom. He was in rebellion. Another time, more up to date, slightly more up to date anyway, a few hundred years later, there's Saul on the road to Damascus. This guy, breathing out murderous threats over the church, watching Stephen get stoned, approving of it, then going from house to house, having Christians arrested, put in prison, and when they were voted against whether they should be put to death or not, he would cast his vote against them, the Bible tells us. In fact, Saul tells us himself. And when he destroyed the church in Jerusalem so that everyone had fled apart from the apostles, he thought, wow, my work's done here. I've got to go somewhere else and do this same good work. So he chased people all over the place. And he went to Damascus with letters from the chief priests saying, to the synagogues there, saying, let this man interrogate and arrest whoever he wants. Followers of the way. So he went to Damascus. 150-mile journey across the deserts of Israel. Maybe up the Jordan Valley, probably over the mountains. And we all know that story, that on the way, that blinding light comes. And he hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he says, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads, he says. And he's left blinded from that. And he goes into Damascus and gets prayed for by some unknown disciple we never hear of before or since, Ananias, whom the Lord tells to go and pray for Saul. And he says, you're joking, Lord, you're having a laugh. This guy's been murdering and arresting us. You know, what? I'm not going to go and pray for this guy. And the Lord says, no, you are, please. I've got to show him how much he's going to suffer for my name. So he goes and prays for him, and Saul receives his sight. But that guy, Saul, was in rebellion. In a way, we've got to be careful what we wish for. But there are some lessons we can learn from that, from those bad examples. In a way, we can learn some lessons, because when Belshazzar saw the writing on the wall, he didn't know what it meant, and the queen at the time, she remembered Daniel, in whom the Spirit of God dwells. She said, "There's a man in whom the Spirit of God dwells. Ask him." He'll tell us what it means. And they call for Daniel. That's the first bit of advice for us. You know, if we're looking for some guidance, it's good to ask someone in whom the Spirit of God dwells for a bit of help. I'm looking around at a few people in whom the Spirit of God dwells this morning. It's good to ask one another. It's good to seek advice from one another. You know, Saul was clearly a man seeking the Lord. He was clearly a man of prayer. He was clearly a man who, he tells us he was zealous for God. In fact, he tells us he was so zealous, he was the most pharisaical Pharisee that there was. He was the most priestly priest that there was. He was outstripping all his fellows in running after the things of God. He said, no one could compare to me. Regarding to the law, I was blameless. as to zeal persecuting the church. He was really seeking God. You know, and some people say, it's not fair. Why should Saul get that special treatment? Why should God show up with a bright light for him? Why won't God show up with a bright light for me? Be careful of what we wish for again. Yeah. The thing is, God didn't do that in spite of Saul's behaviour. It's actually almost because of his behaviour. Because it wasn't despite Saul's will that he turned up in that bright light to turn him around and set him on a different course to preach the gospel as opposed to persecute it. Actually, he felt he was doing God's will. He really felt that he was doing the right thing. He was probably praying every day, God, guide me. He was probably asking for help every day in exterminating this cult, this ugly thing that had sprung up, but it was destroying the church, you know, destroying Israel, undermining the true faith. He was crying out to God for help. It was unnatural that the Father should come in, that send Jesus to him in a very personal way. So it's a lesson for us there, isn't it? Yeah. If we really are looking and needing some guidance in this time, let's cry out to God. Because when we're crying out to God and we're doing stuff, even if we're doing stuff we shouldn't be doing, you know, God will redirect us if necessary. Sometimes forcibly. Now, you know, he won't redirect us if we're in rebellion. If we actively know what we shouldn't be doing and we just carry on doing it, you know, we can't cry out to God for guidance in that because, you know, your actions aren't actually showing that you actually really want his guidance. But he will show up in guidance if we're honest. If we're actually making honest mistakes and just seeing things badly or wrongly. So let's continue to cry out to the Lord for his guidance, knowing that he will come through for us. Another thing, Saul had his breakthrough on that journey to Damascus, and I don't think it's any surprise that he had a breakthrough actually on the journey, because that journey, as I said, was 150 miles from Jerusalem to Damascus. It would have taken him probably the best part of a week walking. Now, that's 20 miles a day over the hills. That's pretty good going. I love walking in the hills. 20 miles in a day is not bad. It leaves you feeling a little bit tired, deserving your evening meal. But what you do when you walk for 20 miles in a day, you get a lot of time to think. You get a lot of time to reflect. You get a lot of time to chew over the stuff that's going on in your heart and in your life. So for me, it's not a surprise that Saul gets a massive revelation during this time of reflection and thinking about his life. The truth is, we all need those times. If we're really serious about seeking guidance from the Lord and wanting him to lead us, we need to build in times of reflection. It's hard for him to speak into sometimes our very busy, chaotic lives, where we're so full of things which are really good and helpful things. Our families, our businesses, our work, our neighbours, our hobbies. Looking after the house, whatever it might be. There are so many important things that we should be doing. That sometimes it's just difficult for us to hear God clearly. And, you know, we talk about quiet times a lot. We used to talk about quiet times all the time when I first became a Christian back in the 80s. Not so fashionable these days. But it is such an important part of actually following the Lord. Seeking those times just when it's you and him. However you do that, it doesn't really matter. I like to do it in the quiet, in the early in the morning over a cup of tea and reading the Bible. I just find that a fantastic way to do it. Not everybody does. So I get really angry with my little ones if they get up too early. They rob me of my special time. But you can't resist John when he comes and says, Dad, can I have a cuddle? You know, I say, of course, come on, have a cuddle. Because that's the best thing, isn't it? And that's what I'm asking my dad for. When I get up that early in the morning, Dad, can I have a cuddle? But however it works for you, it could be in the bath, it could be going for a walk, it could be going for a jog, whatever it takes, find the places where we can have some reflection, where we can think about life, where we can think about all that's happening to us, to our friends, to our families. All that's going on. Now we can actually ask the Lord and say, Lord, what's going on here? You know, what do you want me to do about this? And it's surprising in those moments, the thoughts that come back to us. And it's at those times we know that God is speaking, and you learn to decipher which thoughts are His, and to give God the benefit of the doubt, in a way, that He's speaking back to you in your own thinking. Because the Lord loves to do that. So times of reflection are really important. I encourage you to find those moments. Read scripture, definitely. Dwell on, meditate on stuff that God has already said, that He might speak again to you. Dwell on the promises He's already given to you. Meditate on the things He's already said to you. And ask Him the questions that you have in the day. You know, I've wrestled with this over a long, long time, and I've had times when God's amazingly, clearly guided me, and other times I've struggled. And that's just the way it is, guys. Okay? We just got to get used to that. Sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's down to us not hearing well. Sometimes it's all kinds of other things going on, spiritual stuff. But we just got to get on with it. I'll tell you a couple of examples. When I was deciding whether to marry Sadie or not, could I hear God? Absolutely not. The only thing I could hear was my own heart. That's the only thing I could hear. It was so loud I couldn't hear God. And sometimes that was good and sometimes it was bad, but you know. As if God's saying, this is your choice, I'm not taking the rap for this one, Colin. Well, yeah, we laugh about that, but actually there's some real truth in that. God wants us to own our decisions. He doesn't want to actually tell us what to do, because He wants us to do what we want to do often, and to own that, not to blame Him when it goes wrong. I shouldn't have never married that woman, He says. Yeah, because it's possible if you feel God's told you to, you can blame any outcome on the Lord, and He doesn't want that. He wants us to be mature and be grown up about these things, and to own who we are and where we are in life. But there are other times, you know, actually, when He's just so willing to step out and reveal stuff to us. And it often depends on how hungry, how desperate we are to hear His voice. I remember there was a time when I was trying to make a decision which was way beyond me. You know, some of you are thinking there are lots of decisions way beyond you, Colin. You're quite right, there are many. But this one I knew was way beyond me. And it was so important, and I thought, Lord, I can't make this decision. It affects too many people. You're going to have to help me with this. And I remember I was in IT at the time with the director of an IT company. I was walking up to the office and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do with this situation. So basically I asked the Lord for a sign. And I'm a keen bird watcher. I like watching those furry flying things, feathery flying things even. And, see, I'm very keen. And, there were two birds that I wanted to see at the time that I hadn't seen. For one of them I'd never seen, because it was mainly a foreign bird, it only comes over here rarely, and that was the waxwings. And then another was the bullfinches, and I'd known that my friend Rob's a keen twitcher as well, and he'd seen bullfinches in Cotch Green, and I hadn't seen any, and I said, Lord, come on, I want to see those bullfinches. So I said, look, if I see bullfinches, I know you want me to do this, but if I see waxwings, I know you want me to do this. And within a week, I had a friend call me from Slough saying, oh, come quick, outside my office every day at the moment there's waxwings in the tree, you must come. And I said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go and make this thing happen one way. I'm not going to go chasing the birds. You know, that's not right. This decision is too important for me to go chasing the answer. And you know, that week, literally, it was probably within 2 weeks of me praying the prayer, I had a whole flock of waxwings come to my garden every day for a month. Wow. Every day for a month. I've never seen them before nor since. Wow. Other twitchers were coming to my house to get... Rob came to my house, I think, once or twice that time, just to come and get glimpses of them, because they are very rare. Yeah, I had a whole flock come to my house, visit my garden, every day for a month. That's incredible. You know, and God knows we're weak. You know, like Gideon, in his weakness, he didn't know what to do, did he? And he cried out to the Lord, if you really want me to lead Israel, you've got to show me, because I can't do this. Let the fleece be wet, you know, and let the dry ground be dry. The Lord did it. And he said, well, you know, don't be angry with me, but I just need another sign, because that could have been a fluke. You know, and God is so gentle and he's willing to go the extra mile with us. So he went the extra mile with Gideon and gave him the second sign he asked for, let the ground be wet and the fleece dry. Because he wants us to know sometimes, to be really certain of his will for us. And just for good measure, he then gave him another sign he didn't even ask for. Go down into the enemy camp and hear what the dreams I've given them about Israel, routing them and them running away in fear. God is a God who loves to meet us in our weakness. So this morning, if you're saying to me, it's all very well for you, Colin, but I'm weak, I can't do this, and I can't hear God, and I can't, ask for a sign. You know, don't be too proud to ask for a sign. If you really are desperate to know an answer to a decision, God meets us in those strange ways. Just be careful though. Don't try and fulfill the signs yourself. Don't try and make them happen. It's got to be real for you. We just want one, two things there. Having said that, you know, life mostly, God speaks to us in a very different way. And most of the time he guides us in a very quiet way, in a very unremarkable way. And it's enough for us to know that he is with us and that he will guide us and that he is faithful. And truthfully, that is the bedrock of our life. You know, to know that and to really, really trust it will keep us going through all kinds of situations, all kinds of tough times. It reminds me of Elijah, you know, that great prophet. You say, well, his life was pretty remarkable, Colin. Yes, it was very remarkable. And he defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And the next minute, he's running away from Jezebel. And, you know, he faints in the desert and just says, take me now, Lord. I want to die. And he says something very interesting. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no better than my fathers. And sometimes we can think that we are better than the previous generations. We are better and that God's going to speak to us in other ways. And he came to a realization he was not better. It was a good place to be. And God sent an angel to him and picked him up. But he took him to that cave and he said to Elijah, you know, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he gave this big sob story. He said, I'm going to speak to you. And then that violent wind came, tore the rocks apart. And it says God wasn't in the wind. Then the earthquake came, shook the whole place. God wasn't in the earthquake. Then the roaring fire came. And God wasn't in the fire. And God says to him, go and stand outside. And it said, he heard a still small voice, or a silence even. It was that small. God spoke to him in the silence, in the very quietest of ways. And sometimes we can run after the fireworks and we can run after the big things, run after the big neon signs, when actually God is just wanting to speak to us in a very quiet, unremarkable kind of way. And all of this needs wisdom for us to grapple with, because God's not a God you can make up a rule book and follow the rules to hear his voice. Sometimes he will talk loudly and give us those fireworks, and at other times, quite often, he'll speak in a very understated, quiet way to bring peace about a way forward for us in difficult times. But I want to end with this. There's another promise in Psalms, Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. It's one of my favorites. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. I love that picture. Just imagine God putting a bit and bridle in your mouth. Come on, Andy, here you come. Trying to force him one way, then the next. And God says, I don't want to be like that with you guys. I don't want to be like that with men. I'm going to guide you with my eye. I'm going to guide you with my eye, Kenny. And And really, for that to work, you have to be looking, don't you? If it was fireworks, you'd have been jumping out of your seat and say, "What was that?" You know, but with the still small stuff, you have to be looking, and you have to be attentive. And really, that is what God is looking from us for most of the time, that attention, to be watching out for ways in which he is guiding us. And he will guide us. He says, "You promise, I will teach you and instruct you in the way you should go. I will do that for you personally, and I will do that for this congregation in this season." And it may be with fireworks, and it may be quietly, but I am with you and I will guide you. So I want to just finish maybe with some prayer for one another. Rob, do you want to play over us? That would be really good. You were you wanting to do something, Di?
No, you do what you want.
If you had something in mind, please do.
No, you go with what you're doing.
We're a team. But I just wanted now just to have a few moments to contemplate, to reflect. Because if the Lord has said, you know, I will guide you, there are some here that are needing right guidance right now. And facing decisions and facing plans. And the Lord is saying, I will guide you. I will instruct you. Let's take a few moments to reflect, to contemplate on the things that we need guidance about. God is humble and gentle. He comes where he's asked. Doesn't force his way in. But let's ask him right now. Lord, I need help. I need your help. I need to know your wisdom on this situation. What are you saying, Lord Jesus? Please speak to me, Lord, in a way that I can hear, understand, and know. And I'm open for you to speak in any way that you wish to, whether that's with fireworks and a full Philharmonic orchestra, or whether it's in that quiet moment of thought. Comes through the voice of a friend as well, someone in whom the Spirit of God dwells. So it would be really good to pray with one another this morning, to hand over some of those decisions, to hand over some of those things that we're wrestling with a friend, with someone in whom the Spirit of God dwells, and pray together. But one thing I want you to know, says the Lord, one thing I want you to know this morning is that I will guide you. I will teach you and instruct you in the way you should go. And that's not a heavy thing. You don't have to worry about missing the important thing. Because if it was that important, I would break in and disrupt heaven and earth to redirect you. Just as I did with Saul. But know this, I am with you and I will instruct you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray with one another now. Find someone to pray with. The Lord is faithful to his promise. He will guide you.